Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
In the news recently, there's been lots of talk about Trump and his chances in 2024 in light of his prosecution in New York. And I think this is just a show trial, isn't it? It's not actually a serious trial. Many Democrats have admitted that, yeah, this isn't even going to go anywhere, even though they have every reason to be like, yes, this is terrible. We need to prosecute him.
Isn't there going to be like a follow-up second hearing in December of this year?
Oh, it's going to go on for ages. That some estimates suggest that this case is going to carry on well into 2024.
That shows you that this is a show trial.
Yes, and I think people are pretty aware of this.
Yeah.
Like your average voter, in that whenever there's a presidential election coming up, all of a sudden, all of these court cases come out of the woodwork, and it's a little bit too coincidental at this point, isn't it?
Yeah, but, it's obvious. I mean, it's not like the Democrats haven't been incredibly vocal about how much they pathologically hate Trump and want to see him behind bars, even though they don't really seem to have any crimes.
That's going to backfire to some extent, isn't it? Because the amount that they're pathological about him kind of betrays their own insanity to a certain extent. If a normal person looks at people and sees them freaking out, like actively neurotic, frothing at the mouth virtually about a political candidate, they're not going to think, oh, that person has a point. They seem very reasonable, are they?
Yeah, they're going to be like, this person is demented.
But the BBC seems to have got the fact that this could actually go to Trump's advantage, him being persecuted by the state in this way.
I mean, and it is literally what happens in banana republics.
So. Yes, it is, yeah. So it's titled, Can Trump Turn Prosecution into an Election Asset? And it says, Donald Trump has lived his whole life as though he is trying to prove the theory that all publicity is good publicity, which I think is true.
It certainly worked for him, didn't it?
It did, yeah.
They were always complaining, well, 90% of the media coverage he gets is negative, but he has got like billions of dollars of free coverage, and he did win in 2016.
Well, he had some of the lowest campaign spending relative to his voter share of any US president.
So clearly it works.
Yeah. And it goes on to say, his appearance in court on Tuesday as a criminal defendant will test that cliche to the limit. This case has certainly put him back in the spotlight. His journey from Mar-a-Lago, from his Florida home to New York, was carried live on several US TV stations. I don't know who would watch that. It's just a car traveling across the East Coast. But he has apparently been discussing with advisors how he should appear through the court process, smiling defiantly or looking somber and serious. Like it or not, this court date is also an election campaign event. The big question is whether Mr. Trump can really turn a criminal prosecution into an electoral asset. Since the indictment against him was announced last week, his campaign has been boasting about how much money it has raised, over $8 million, they say, and cite opinion polls that suggest his lead over Republican opponents for the presidential nomination has grown. Yeah. And that is objectively correct, actually. And
yeah, both of those things are just true.
Yes, so it does actually seem like it's helping him rather than hindering him, which is very stupid on behalf of the Democrats here. It's also worth pointing out as well, I saw this article from iNews. Donald Trump's far-right supporters think indictment will help him win the 2024 US presidential election, but the BBC was just
also
talking about
that,
it. Yeah, they pointed out the fact that, maybe it is helping him and cited the evidence, which is backed up on real polls and probably real campaign finances, because that's of course public, so you wouldn't lie about that.
But the thing is, the Independent would also say that, you know, far right people also think the sky is blue, so they do,
therefore it's not, it must be green. Do you know that the bad mid-century German man drank water, and so do you?
I drink tea, hence I'm not a Nazi.
But as you pointed out in and as illustrated in this article here, a Harvard study found that CNN and NBC reported 93% of the time in a negative light of Trump. And this is all the way back in 2017. Yeah. So the media is very much against him, and yet he won a quite resounding
victory. He was the only thing on people's
lips. Yeah, exactly.
He was the only one anyone would talk about.
Mm-hmm. And then if we move on to
2017. It was so good.
It was the golden years, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We move on to this. This is some recent polling. This is the Reuters Ipsos poll, and it's titled, Trump widens lead in 2024 Republican presidential primary, and it says Former US President Donald Trump has widened his lead over his rivals for the presidential nomination, even as he faces criminal charges in New York, according to this poll. Some 48% of self-described Republicans say they want Trump to be their party's presidential nominee, up from 44% in March 14-20 poll. So it says some 19% back his closest rival, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, down from 30% last month. Mm. That's quite a drop, isn't it? Other likely rivals polled in the single digits. So it seems quite resounding, really, that he's going to be the presidential nominee.
And I like DeSantis and Trump, but I think it's got to be Trump, man. I just want Trump to go back in there and smash
him. He's got the name and recognition. He's got the brand, hasn't he?
It's not that. It's that these people deserve to get absolutely walloped by Trump.
I would like to see Trump's revenge.
Although, to see his smug smirk on the, you know, as he goes into the White House and clears out Joe Biden's stuff. That's what I want.
I mean, I'm kind of torn. On the one hand, I know that DeSantis has a very good record of provable policies. Mm. And on the other, you know, seeing Trump get his revenge and clearing out the deep state would be glorious. Yeah.
But also, DeSantis is like in his mid-40s. Mm-hmm. So he can afford to wait like another 5 or 6 years before he runs.
I also did think you don't want to necessarily deprive Florida of a competent governor either.
Exactly.
Because that's like a safe haven for sanity in America.
Yeah, exactly.
Among a few other states, of course.
You know, I'm sure the Floridians aren't eager to give up DeSantis either. Mm-hmm. But DeSantis is still young. He's still got lots of time. You know, wait till the Trump... This is going to be the last time Trump tries anything. Mm-hmm. He's 78. So just let him have his last gasp and then DeSantis for the win.
I do think that DeSantis handled the COVID stuff a lot better as well. Mm-hmm. Some of which I can't talk about on YouTube because I'm going to get told off. But should we look at the fact, some of the comparisons between DeSantis and Trump, and I wanted to evaluate just what Trump actually achieved in office. And I'm going to be giving my opinion. Obviously, I'm not going to say it's a fact, but I want to look at whether Trump would be good, desirable.
Trump.
And I'm going to start this by saying, I think that he's comfortably the best US president in my lifetime. Obviously, I am a British citizen weighing in on American politics, so I'm sticking my nose in where it might not belong. Well, but still,
there's no doubting that things were going brilliantly for America under Trump.
I'm going to list off lots of the good things about it, just so we can refresh our memories.
It's only been like a few years, but you may forget just how amazing things used to be.
And it's also worth mentioning as well that while Trump was in office, half of his presidency was constrained by a hostile Congress. Yeah. So he only
a hostile everything.
So he only really had 2 years where he could get stuff done. So that's always worth bearing in mind when people talk about, well, Trump should have done more.
Yeah,
things
he should
like
have done
that.
This, he shouldn't have done that.
It's a fair point to say that he was perhaps naive to believe some of the neocons in his own party.
I think a lot of people forget that Trump wasn't a politician.
That is true.
He just came in really competently won.
I think he also expected people to do as they're told, because he's been in the business world where if you don't do what you're told, you can just be fired, whereas you can't necessarily remove someone from Congress if they don't do what you're told as a president.
Yeah, there is that,
But I think that there are... I'm going to start with some of the bad aspects and then end with the good, end on a high note. And I think that although I don't think Trump did anything wrong, I think the media has made a big point about January 6th, and I did a lot of research into this, so I don't think it's as the media presented it. I think it was a crowd of people who didn't really know what they were trying to do.
Who were led around by the guards for some reason.
Yes, very strange, isn't it, that the police were just giving them a guided tour of the
Literally
Capitol.
Literally opened the doors for them.
Yeah, and they were staying within the ropes and everything.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if you want to know more about my reporting on January 6th, I had an interview with Edward Jacob Lang, who is one of the January 6th prisoners arrested. I think he was the person who was facing the most charges out of all of them. Mm. And he was very, very articulate about why he was there, some of the philosophy of the American right and that sort of thing. And it's well worth checking out. It's also worth mentioning as well that the prison that I called him from kept on having the line cut, whether it be deliberately or otherwise. But I did ask him about potential intelligence agency involvement, and then it immediately cut out. So make of that what you will. But one thing that I think is fair that many people on the right should criticize Trump for is that he did increase the national debt, which is not ideal for a Republican.
Sure, but it's hardly unusual.
I know, but I still, it's something that's very important to me is that governments be fiscally responsible. I want the smallest state as possible.
That ship has sailed a long time ago.
I know, but before you a man can dream, yes.
So, you know, to like whack Trump with that stick just seems silly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm more willing to do it, perhaps, than others. You could argue that his trade protectionism, although it's certainly warranted against China, in that, you know, they're a political enemy, you don't want economic dependence upon an enemy. That makes perfect sense. But normally, when you're the economic hegemon that America still certainly is, you want to have free trade because then you can reap more of the benefits because you can leverage your dominant economy to
sure, but you're also deals. You're also growing your enemy.
Well, so, I don't mean China any of their political enemies.
I think that there's a fair argument these days for trade protectionism, actually.
I don't know. I think that you should be less protectionist against your potential allies and people like that. But if it's, say, your China's, your Russia's, your Iran, your North Korea, don't trade with them. Yeah.
Well, that's not free trade then. That's a protectionist block for privileged partners, which is fine. And that's
it's not one
fine.
Or the other, that you can have a blend. And I think that that's the desirable
place. You can
have
very generous trade deals with your privileged partners and very restrictive ones with people who are literally your rivals. And we should, but that's not free trade. Right? That is protectionism. And that's fine. I think that's fine. And I think that's actually good for the general people of America because at least their jobs stay in their bloody countries.
What about this one? This is personally not a problem for me, but it's a problem for some people, is that he seems unwilling to be civil sometimes, in that he's more than happy to have grudges and do cheap shots and insult people. But I think that's kind of funny and it endears me to him more than anything else.
It made
else.
Politics fun.
It did, yeah. However, it will put some people off, I'm sure.
Yeah, it will.
Mm-hmm. And of course, the fact that the media is almost completely hostile to him doesn't help him. Obviously, it didn't matter in 2016, but there have been some developments. Like, he's alienated himself from Fox News, who were supportive of him, albeit not behind the scenes necessarily, as some of the revelations came out in court. It's also worth mentioning as well that Dan said off camera to me when I was talking about this that Trump's first campaign exposed the media for being partisan shills. Perhaps another campaign can expose things like the deep state and get them out into the open, say, look, these people are actively hostile to the president. We need to get rid of these people. And he mentioned about firing, what was it, 50,000 federal employees or something like that, which would be fantastic.
It'd
be
amazing.
If I were American, that would win my vote. It's just a single policy right there.
I'm going to fire 50,000 employees and then destroy the economy. Well, at least he's firing 50,000 employees. Dan's right there. Like, it is good that what Trump did to the media was very useful for the average person.
Absolutely. And he deserves perhaps even more credit than he's given for doing that.
I agree.
And one thing as well that libertarian types like myself dislike is that he didn't end mass surveillance of both American and foreign citizens. So the American government can still spy on me for some reason.
Yeah.
Because he signed the bill renewing the NSA's internet surveillance program, which is something that I think many people would be like, no, that was a bad move.
Undoubtedly, the alphabet agencies would have said, yeah, but terrorism, people are going to die if we don't do it.
But then you just surveil Muslims?
I don't think he can do that.
Well, find a way. You don't have to surveil ordinary people who are causing no problems, but...
Yeah, but you don't know that they're ordinary people until you start surveilling them.
If they're Muslim, that narrows
America's
it down.
America's terrorism problem isn't really Muslims, it's MS-13.
Okay.
Sorry, it just is not...
They're
only like 1% Muslim.
I don't agree with surveilling people in principle.
No, I agree. I'm not in favor of it either. But their argument would have been, look, we look at these evil gangs crossing the border that we've stopped. Look at the terrible things that we've managed to catch by surveilling these things. And Trump would have been like, okay, they are good that they caught those things. But I'm not in favor of mass surveillance either. It's just that you can see from his perspective, it's like, yeah, these would have gone uncaught had we not been surveilling these things. So,
and the final thing, again, this is coming from my very libertarian leanings, is that he didn't end the war on drugs. But then again, He did sign the First Step Act, which reduced sentencing for non-violent drug offenders so that prisons could prioritize violent people and dangerous criminals. Which
just to add on to my point there, though, it's not that America hasn't had Muslim terror attacks either. Mm-hmm. It's just it has lots of other problems too.
I think the cartels are a big problem in America as well, aren't they?
Yeah, massive. Mm-hmm. But we over here, obviously, the majority of terror attacks are, of course, Islamic.
Yes, of course.
But it's not the same in America. You get lots of other kinds of problems. Anyway. Mm-hmm.
So on to some of the good things. Tax cuts. I think this is huge.
Yep.
And he signed, what was it, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017, which lowered the corporate tax rate from 35% to 21%, which is a huge reduction. Great stuff.
Very sensible.
He lowered individual tax rates as well and increased standard deduction.
This is why the debt increased?
Partially.
Yeah.
Although you should, when you're reducing taxes, shrink the government as well, ideally. But
he should have fired those 50,000 employees.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, second time around. Yeah. He also deregulated a lot of things in that he repealed lots of Obama era policies. So
I've heard a lot of people saying that the train derailments that have been happening recently are a consequence of deregulation. I haven't looked into it.
Oh, that's
I would find it
silly.
Unlikely.
Yeah, deregulating made a train go off of the tracks.
Yeah, I do find it hard to believe. I haven't looked into it though. So. Mm-hmm.
Of course, under Trump, the United States was energy independent for some time before Biden took over, which is huge. That's massive. What you want out of your country. That's integral to national defense for a start.
Yeah.
If you can have a permanent supply of energy, then you're not dependent on any other country and you need both food and energy to be able to defend your borders. You need to produce these domestically.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's a national security issue, in my opinion.
That's correct, yeah.
He also appointed 3 Supreme Court justices, which is obviously great. That's more than most presidents, especially a one-term president.
The Democrats really dropped the ball on that.
They certainly did, yeah. And the fact that he did the America First-style policies as well, he negotiated deals that were previously disadvantageous to the United States, though basically subsidizing other poorer countries. So he switched from unilateral trade deals to bilateral ones, whereby it's just America negotiating with a country rather than America and a block of countries whereby they have better negotiating power. So that's perfectly reasonable. Obviously, he did tariffs on China, which is good. And he withdrew from the Paris Climate Agreement, which was disproportionately bad on the United States.
Yeah, I agree.
Another great thing. He also withdrew from the communist sympathizing World Health Organization as well.
Tedros with Tedros. Is literally an Ethiopian communist.
He is, yes.
Literally, he's from, probably committed war crimes.
When he held office in Ethiopia for the government, he had dealings personally with the Chinese Communist Party.
Yeah.
He had a role where he had to liaise with them. So
he was actually a communist revolutionary in Ethiopia.
Yes. Also, he was very competent at foreign policy.
He was excellent at foreign policy. Mm-hmm.
He's the only US president in many years not to start a foreign war. He was also nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize.
Well, that's only because he got, UAE to recognize Israel?
Yes.
And sign a bunch of... He moved the embassy to Jerusalem, didn't he?
I think so,
Yeah, there was just a general sort of relaxation.
Saudi Arabia wouldn't be moving to the Chinese yuan or
whatever
it is.
No, it under Trump.
No, they wouldn't, would they?
Yeah, no one invaded Ukraine under Trump.
I think one of the best cases is he's not a senile old man who sniffs kids, who has a crackhead son, who sells presidential access for money. I think that's a pretty good
that's pretty good
point as well.
Yep, he doesn't get paid by the Chinese.
So let's talk about whether he has a chance in 2020. Yeah. And I think he didn't secure the office of presidency in 2020.
Nope.
I can't say too much about that on YouTube, but would a rerun...
Freest and fairest elections in all of history.
Yes. But would a rerun be any better? I think, if anything, there's been more time for the Democrats to prepare for Trump's rerun than previously. So is it possible? Would a different candidate be better? I think they might be a bit more willing to give DeSantis a fair shot, maybe. I don't know.
It's difficult to tell. I've seen them trying to set DeSantis up as a fascist or a king. I see them saying this all the time. It's like
he's King just, of Florida.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds quite cool. Actually.
It does, yeah.
But he is just the elected governor, and he's acting within their... I watched I think it was Piers Morgan's interview with DeSantis. And he's just so totally reasonable. He's just like, well, we've got a legislature and I just put the bills through the legislature. They're confirmed by the elected representatives. And then I sign them off and it's all 100% democratic. I don't know why they would say I'm acting like a king. It's just, I'm literally acting like a democratic governor because he is. You know,
they're calling him like a king and an autocrat because he's not meant to be that effective.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
it's just that he's almost a compliment. Things. Yeah, exactly.
Just like you're too efficient to be a democracy person. I don't know what the term.
No. He's literally just getting things done through the democratic process. And they're like, oh, that's what a king does. And no, that's not. Well, I mean, actually, it is what a king does in a constitutional monarchy. Mm-hmm. But you mean a tyrant. And that's not what a tyrant does. But he's not a tyrant. So
it's a bit of an indictment of the American democratic system that they presume that if you do stuff, you must be a tyrant.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Of course, even if Trump does win, will the deep state allow him to do anything as well?
Wow, yeah.
Will he be undermined at every angle like he was to some extent?
I imagine that previously, people are not wrong to say that Trump was naive, and I think he was naive because, of course, he wasn't a politician. Right? He thought that they would do what they were supposed to do.
Yeah.
He should have just gone in and fired them all. He should have literally just
cleared every single one of them out.
Just cleared them all out. And hopefully, if he were to win in 2024, that's what he'd do.
It'd be a lesson learned, and he could actually purge the arms of government.
Yes, that's what he would have to do.
It'd be glorious.
It would be great, wouldn't it? Yeah.
I also considered, would the Republican Party, perhaps the more establishment Republicans, kind of do what I would refer to as do the dirty on him and do what the Democrats did to Bernie Sanders? And even though
I don't think they've got the power.
I kind of am of that opinion as well.
Trump's too powerful.
Possible, but I think that he's just too powerful within the party now for them to conduct some sort of coup.
I mean, before he was before he lost an election, he had like a 95% approval rating inside the Republican Party,
which is massive.
It's just amazing. It's probably no one's
unheard of, isn't it?
It's probably no one's had an approval rating.
I'm adopting Trump's speech patterns. Yeah. Just talking about him,
but that is
best numbers in all of history.
That is a genuinely good indication that the party was fully behind him, and that that kind of unity as well was very important because this unified front against the left was an important thing for them to have, and Trump gave the Republicans that's a powerful thing.
Yeah, and assuming that all of those previously mentioned things aren't a problem. When he does run, which I think it's likely he's going to get the nomination, right? Yeah. It's also going to be a slightly different landscape to how it was before. This is a point that Connor made to me, that California has lost a seat and Texas and Florida have gained one because of internal population shifts. Mm-hmm. More people have been moving to Texas and Florida and fewer people are in California.
Yeah.
So those states that are traditionally more Republican-leaning now have more sway and California has less. So that's quite important.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that, actually. I was thinking in terms of economics of, you know, the people fleeing New York and California. But no, that's also a good point. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to have a look at just what some other people are saying about his chances in the future. And the first one is from Elon Musk. And here we have, Elon Musk predicts Trump will win by a landslide in 2024 if he's indicted. He's, again, talking about this weird case going on here.
Yeah.
And he's saying that, yes, it is going to work to his advantage because his shtick is that he's persecuted by the state. And if the state is persecuting him,
actively persecuting him,
it's pretty undeniable, isn't it?
Yep.
And if we move to Newsweek here, they're saying Donald Trump's odds of winning in 2024 handed boost. So they're again saying that, yes, actually them going after him is helping his chances.
Yeah.
And it says, according to Betfair, the former president's chance of winning the Republican nomination have improved since charges were announced against him on Thursday, though Joe Biden remains bookie's favorite for another term in the White House. And the bookies they're on about here is Betfair, if you move on to the next one, John. And of course, they have money to lose if they're wrong. Yeah, so you can trust that they're
well, there's a direct incentive to be accurate. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they're saying it's 3-1, which I think is perhaps a bit uncharitable to Trump there. I think he's actually got better chances than that.
That's a pretty good chance, though.
It's still not bad, is it? Yeah. It's better than he would have got in 2016.
Probably, yeah. When they were saying it's 99% chance Hillary's going to win, yeah.
I remember staying up and watching that election and everyone was like, oh, Hillary's going to win, and then she didn't win.
Yeah, I know.
So and I went good. To bed a happy man.
So good.
Just like, as long as Hillary doesn't win, I'm happy. And it happened.
Yeah.
And then you have the New Yorker saying, 2024 Trump is even scarier than 2020 Trump. And
I'm
saying,
already sold. Right? Yeah. I'm already sold. I'm already supporting Trump.
This is just helping him. This is free election campaign material. It says, when the front-running ex-president campaigns on a platform of retribution and termination, it's best to take him seriously.
I'm already in support of him, Susan. Okay? I can't endorse him anymore.
And then you have New York Mag here saying, Trump is as electable now as he was in 2016.
I agree with you.
Which
good
is
point,
a,
New Yorker.
A fair point, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's and the point here is quite a long article, and it's basically that Trump has seemed to have boosted previous electoral numbers for the Republicans, so he's clearly one of the better candidates for them.
Because they always talked about, oh, Trump's endorsement wasn't like, you know, gold or whatever. It's like, yeah, but like he endorsed like 300 people and 30 or 40 of them didn't win their seats, but like, you know, the other 250 or so did.
Yeah.
So it's just like, okay, but that's a great track record.
The Trump bump is a notable phenomenon, though.
It's
like
real.
You can see his endorsement helping candidates. And he was right to point out that when he endorses someone, it does improve their chances of winning.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to be 100%.
No,
because,
but it's still pretty reliable.
Yes.
What Trump needs to do is get back on bloody Twitter.
Mm-hmm. They also mention in this article that he's actually in a different poll to one of the ones cited earlier, is actually polling better than Joe Biden for 2024.
Well, I mean, Joe Biden only ruined America, destabilized the global hegemony America had, and it appears to have brought an end to the petrodollar. I mean, why would you not vote for Joe Biden?
There's no reason. Unless you like senile people who are controlled by others. Then
he literally tripled the cost of your petrol prices.
Mm-hmm.
Food and everything else has gone up. Massive inflationary crisis under Biden.
The US was in a position to be relatively insulated from a lot of the global problems because they produce a lot of their own food domestically. Yep. They could have been energy independent.
If you consider corn syrup to be food.
I'm pretty sure they grow more than just corn syrup.
I'm just joking.
I mean, they...
But yeah, no, you are right. Things are going great under Trump, and literally the US is falling apart under Biden. Mm-hmm.
And then you have establishment Republicans like Paul Ryan saying even MAGA diehards believe Trump can't win in 2024, even though that's
okay, but
not
the,
true.
The anti-MAGA crowd really think he can win. I mean, you know, like, I don't know what to say, Paul, you know.
Mm-hmm. Of course, it's worth remembering, if you're not familiar with Paul Ryan, he was the running mate of Mitt Romney, who was scarcely a Republican at all.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even call him right-wing.
Much with Black Lives Matter, he's a Democrat.
Yes, I would say so. So he has a bit of a vested interest to say this sort of thing, doesn't he?
But, so yeah, all of the left think he can win. I don't know what to tell you.
But that's the sort of lay of the land at the minute. I thought it'd be good to just have a look at it because there are lots of different things being said and we can have a kind of more objective look, particularly now his presidency's been a few years in the past, and we're starting to get closer and closer to 2024. And I think that it's perfectly reasonable now to start looking at it as if he has a very real chance. And by the looks of it, much of the mainstream media have just admitted that, yes, actually.
I mean, he is the glorious golden god emperor. I don't know what you want.
I mean, what more can you say about him than that?
If you appreciated that segment from the podcast, The Lotus Eaters, you can go to lotuseaters.com to get access to all the premium content that's on the site, such as the Contemplation series, this episode on Did We Domesticate Ourselves? If you'd like to find out what else is being put out, you can follow on Getter at lotuseaters_com on Getter. Thank you and goodbye.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.